you, Jesus. Again, thanks for being here. You know, when we talk about offerings and tithing and all the ways that God has instructed all of us to give, I want to remind you, and by the way, how many of you saw that there's walls up in the kids' church back behind? Amen. Isn't that good? Thank you, Lord. So that thing's a great process. Going to keep coming. They worked yesterday because they knew tomorrow is going to be a little nasty day. But hopefully Tuesday they can get right back at it and keep getting those walls and the trusses that I guess they're ordered and coming. And then we'll put a roof on it and just start enclosing the thing. But I want to remind you what the Word of God says about giving. And you find it in Galatians where it talks about sowing and reaping, because we have to all understand that God wants us to reap, but we have to sow in order to reap. And that's talking about anything in life. I mean, we all know that when you sow kindness, then that's what you're going to reap. If you sow anger, that's what you're going to reap. When you sow finances, and it doesn't necessarily have to be in church, but when you sow to someone, S-O-W, people might need something. The Spirit of God says, hey, I want you to go bless that person. You want to talk about a reaping. I mean, God will, he will pour it out. And those kind of people that honor God in that way are the ones that God just keeps pouring it out to, because he can trust you. I mean, he's not going to just pour out money on people that can't handle it and they don't use it wisely. And so in Galatians chapter 5, the very first verse says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ has made us free. Well, what are we free from? Well, you go on and read it, and it talks about bondage. And a lot of times, look at me, I do more counseling sessions with people that are hurting financially than any other thing, anything. And there's a lot of reasons why. We tend to buy more than we have. I mean, there's a lot of reasons. Sometimes we're just meeting the needs, and then something will happen and there'll be a breakdown in the truck. You know, yesterday, I guess it was when London and Jamie, my wife, and the kids came home from Fort Worth, and London was trying to qualify for the American that you watch on TV right now. That's the largest rodeo in the world. It's turned out to be, I think they give, well, besides the national finals, because they give about 10, 15 million away there. But that's over 10 days. But a one-day rodeo that gives a couple of million dollars away to those Cowboys. And anybody can win a million, and you have to qualify. And that's what London went to go try to do, is to qualify in the barrel racing. But when they got home, we backed out her black horse. And I mean, blood was flowing on the right hind. And it was literally laid all the way over where you could see the tendon and the bone. And, oh, you know, it was like, wow. And so Jamie immediately calls the vet, and he rushes over, and thank God that he was able to clean it all up, and it didn't hurt any of that tendon. I mean, he run his finger down it, and the bone that was exposed, you know, they were able to sew it up, lay it back over. But I was thinking, you know, and London at the time didn't know that she had actually qualified in one barrel racing the next day on that horse. And they And so we got on the phone and we let them know that that particular horse, you can't substitute a horse. I mean, whichever one you qualify on, you have to continue on that one. And here this horse is, I mean, he can't walk on right hind foot. You see, sometimes those kind of things happen. And when you're barely making it, thank God we're not. Thank God we're not, all of us. I mean, the thing is I don't want to be in bondage. I don't want something to happen that ruins everything. That then causes us to be in a bad mood, or we're trying to figure out, okay, what do I need to sell now to try to survive this little trial and this little tribulation? And here, the Apostle Paul is really saying, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with Christ who hath made us free. So here's the key. Because of sowing and reaping, we can now have some freedom and not be in the bondage of barely making it, paycheck to paycheck. No, we can do it in the freedom that God is the provider and he wants to richly bless his kids. That's why we give, y'all. Not to try to, you know, have these weird mentalities of the church just trying to get our money. No, we're not. We're actually trying to get it to you. And all the new people that don't know, I do not take a salary at this church. You're going to have to obey God in order to give to me and my wife. If I make you mad, step on your toe with the message, you're able to say, I'm not giving to that sucker. So it's going to take me then to have to trust God, right? So when you give, I want you to give with that attitude, that there's freedom in giving to the Lord, sowing and then reaping it in Jesus' name. Amen. So y'all that are going to give, come give in these buckets, and I want you to do it with a big old shout of praise. Come on. Thank God we get to. And when you put it in there, don't just put it in just because it's a law of the Old Testament. Thank God we're a New Testament church. We don't have to give. We get to give in honor of spreading the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Thank you, Lord. All right, put them in there. I'm watching you, boy. One, two. Okay, good. Amen. It's like, okay. Father, thank you, Lord, that we pray over everything that comes in a church to be able to pay salaries to people that needed in this church, that work here, to be able to pay light bills and things like that. But Father, it's greater than that. It's to spread the gospel, the good news, to the uttermost parts of the world. And we're doing that because we're live here on TV and possibly people are watching all over. And we thank you, sir, that everything that was sown from these great people, the word in Malachi says to prove you. If you would not open the window of heaven and pour out the blessing. So I'm asking you to do that in their lives, sir, because of their faithfulness to not allow money to control them, but they control it. And they're givers. God, honor that, sir. And I just thank you, Lord, that we would have a mind that is free because of Christ Jesus, that we don't have to live in bondage, not even financially, that we can have an abundance of finances so that we can enjoy life and get out of debt, but more than that, that we can spread the gospel. So I ask you to continue to keep us in remembrance of that and nothing else. So take care of your kids, sir. Because you said you would meet all their need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So we honor you. We honor your word. We believe it by faith in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, guys, go ahead and start. We're going to take communion. We take communion once a month, the first Sunday of each month. Thank you, sir. And it's an honor to be able to take it. Now, families, I know you have your kids, and we used to dismiss them, but I think it's just easier that the ones that have to tend to our kids and get ready for our children to be taught, let them have some fun, that they take communion with us. So I know the word tells us that communion is for the believer. But you know what you're doing with a kid that might not be at that age of accountability, the word calls it. They don't really understand to give their lives to the Lord, and so why would they take communion? You know, it doesn't hurt a thing. All you're doing is teaching them what really communion is. And what is that? Well, obviously, in a week or so, I think Howdy told me it was next week that we're going to baptize. There's going to be about four or five baptisms. And by the way, if you've never been baptized, you need to be. Really, really, baptism in water is the first act of obedience after you give your life to Jesus. But yet, there are just a lot of people that just never did do it. And I understand that. Maybe they gave their lives to Jesus, you know, at another place, not at a church. At the College National Finals, I have baptized people in that freezing cold water in that river up there in Casper. Casper, Wyoming. And even though it's in June, I'm here to tell you, look at me. I'm here to tell you the truth. And I'll just use some King James vernacular. It's varieth, coldeth, on your bodyeth. I mean, you stay in it. Ooh, wow. Last year, I baptized three or four in where the bulls, they keep the bulls, and they hold them at the fairgrounds at Casper, Wyoming, and then they transport them all for the big rodeo each night to the Coliseum. Well, they have water troughs, and people were so excited to get baptized that we baptized in the water trough. And we didn't care. It didn't matter. It's anointed water with green things floating. Maybe a little moss or whatever. Didn't care. Didn't matter. Because it was the death, burial, and resurrection, man, of the old them and that resurrection of the new them in Christ. Well, that's what we're fixing to do here, is we're going to remember what Jesus did for you and I by dying on a cross, the brutal, listen to me, brutal death that Jesus did for us, that cramming crown thorn over 3 inches long into his head as a mockery. You said you're the King, the Son of God. They spit on him. As y'all know, ministers, you study it out, over 100, lined up as Jesus came one at a time. They slapped him with the open hand and buffeted him. They slapped him with the backhand. All of them did that. His face was just so beat up. I can't imagine. They did that for our Jesus and to our Jesus. And then we would dare come to church and not want to receive from the engrafted Word of God. We would dare not understand that by His stripes were healed. The stripes were that same time, that beating, that cat of the nine tails, just slicing his skin open. We are healed by his stripes. It was striped his body. There's no fear. There's no doubt. There's no unbelief in Christ Jesus. gosh, and he did that for us. He broke his body. Because that's what this bread represents. In Corinthians, the Bible says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. When you eat it, do it in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took the cup. This represents the blood. Because had it not been for the blood of Jesus, we wouldn't have redemption. We wouldn't have forgiveness. God, thank you. Thank you. And he said, this is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So I want to eat this bread so that we remember. We remember. We won't forget it. He's our Savior. And he did it so that we can again be redeemed from the curse of the law. That we can walk in forgiveness and love and mercy that's new every single morning. That we can have healing. Not just physically, but emotionally and all kinds. And it was because of the broken blood, broken bread, his body, and the juice that we drink representing his blood. So take, eat, and drink. Thank you, Father. Father, we love you. We thank you, sir, that we don't want to forget what you did for us. Because we're going to need it. We're going to need it in these last days to know that we have victory. We don't have to be the victim, that we're the head, not the tail. We are above things, trials and tribulations, and not under them. We can literally do all things through Christ, which gives us strength. So, Father, thank you, Lord, that Jesus gave his life for us. But now, as we're going to celebrate next month, sir, he is not dead. He's alive, y'all. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, that he was raised from the dead. Thank you that he's seated by the right hand of you, sir. And we just give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Say amen. Isn't God good? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for woo. That forgiveness. Why don't you pass all your cups to the center if you want to or somewhere. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me get the ushers out of the way so they don't get trampled. We got to raise them from the dead. I'm watching. Love. You ready? All right. It's an honor to be able to dismiss all the kids as well as our awesome youth group. Man, if you're a youth, 18 down to about 12, we separate them in junior high and high school ages. They're going to have a good time. So with a big round of applause, kids' church and youth group is dismissed out the back end to have a good time. Thank you, Lord. See ya. Praise God. Man, there's a lot of them. Y'all see all them people? It's y'all's fault. Amen. How many brought your Bible? Let's jump right into the Word of God this morning. How many brought your Bible? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bible to Colossians, the very first chapter. Colossians. Very first chapter. Again, for you guys that are watching on the internet, it's an honor to have you. Pray that you spread the word and cause more people to watch as we preach the engrafted word. Amen. Y'all that are here, let's begin to read in the very first verse of of Colossians. Say amen if you're there. I'll wait on you if you're not. Anybody not there, say, oh me or something. Oh me, I'm waiting. Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, Theus, O brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's talking to us right here. I know he was talking to this church through an epistle that he wrote, the Apostle Paul wrote. He says this to all of us, as well as to these people in that day, we give thanks to God and the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Thank God for that. Constant prayer. Amen. I believe that's important. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. So he's talking to someone, right? For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you've heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, and it is in you all, or in all the world, and brings forth fruit. So what did that say? That the word, in verse 5, of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you. How many of you are saved this morning? Born again. Jesus is Lord. If you're not, and you don't know that where you would go when you die, you don't know if you'd go to a place called heaven or hell, I beg you to choose heaven today. Agree with me, church. Because when you give your life to Jesus, then the word becomes you. Because we understand that Jesus is the word. Everything in this Bible is about Jesus. He became the word and he dwells among us according to it. Okay, so when you give your life to Jesus, the word is the truth of this gospel and it's good news. So that's why then in verse 6, it says that word which has come unto you, it is in all the world and it brings forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Johnny, our dear fellow servant. Okay, it's not Johnny, but I wished it would be, because then you'd know how to say the stuff. There's words back then. But anyway, I looked it up, and it's Epaphras. That's actually his name. And they so I just looked it up. How do you say that, Lord? You know, and Epaphras, Frass or whatever. Anyway, he's a dear fellow servant. You see that? I looked him up, and he's actually the pastor that the Apostle Paul greeted three times, right here, over in 4, and then in Philemon. He talked about Epaphras, a dear fellow servant. He is a pastor. Let's read on. Who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, that's pretty important. And I'm just building up something right now, because we're really going to be talking about some forgiveness. But in order to understand forgiveness, we need to understand that the Word of God is declaring things to all of us today. He's declaring that we walk in love because Jesus is in love. And then verse 9, for the cause we also, since the day we heard about Jesus and his good news, do not cease to pray for you that we desire, that we're filled with knowledge of God's will in all what? Wisdom. And what? Spiritual understanding. Because a lot of times people really don't understand the word. You take out the these, thous, and thuses, and it helps us a little bit. But man, we need to understand the word of God, because when marriages are being attacked, and when the doctor tells us that we have some type of disease or something that's bothering our bodies, and when the flu season is here, and relationships are being broken, and finances are under assault, can't find a job. I don't see that in Texas, man. You can find a job in Texas. I mean, it may be cooking a hamburger, but at least it's a job. Say amen to that. But I mean, people are dealing with a lot of stuff nowadays. And if you don't understand the word of God and how it's actually for you and not against you, then you're not going to have that spiritual understanding that we desperately need today. Verse 10. That we walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Think about that for a minute. Because everything we do, we need to be fruitful. Or the blessing of the Lord. Because that's what fruit really is. Especially the fruit of the Spirit. And increasing, here it says it again, in the knowledge of God. I think it's really important that we have these attitudes that, man, well, I just want to gain more wisdom and more knowledge of the Lord. I don't want to settle for just barely putting on the helmet of salvation. I want to have the breastplate of righteousness on. I want to have my shoes on, that preparation of the gospel of peace. And, you know, I just don't want the fire insurance of leaving this earth and going to heaven. I want to have heaven here. Would you agree with that? Because we need it desperately here. We don't need to wait. I mean, I look at people's faces as they're out there in that world, and man, they look like they don't have any hope. Well, really, the reality is they're probably going through something probably tragic. I mean, we probably don't know what it is, but I mean, on the inner, you know, self, that they are being eat up, and therefore their faces are showing it. Well, if you've got knowledge of God and have some understanding, I mean, I'm talking spiritual understanding, man, you can be that overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. You can be the one that says, uh-uh, devil, I refuse to allow you to be on top of me. And when you know who you are in Christ Jesus, that's when you can literally say with the faith and confidence of that spiritual understanding, you can literally say, Satan, get thee behind me. And he has to. I mean, he has to. He has to a believer in Christ Jesus, right? The problem is we haven't gained the knowledge, and we've only lived by what we see, hear, feel, taste, and touch. We hear things like, well, you're not good enough. You don't know enough of the word. You don't pray enough, and all these rules and regulations. And in all reality, we're meditating on all the stuff that we might hear that usually doesn't even line up with the word of God. But man, when we've got spiritual understanding and we know who we are in Christ, that's when you can speak to the mountain. That's when you say, whatever is attacking me, that's when you can say, get thee behind me. And you can cast that sea, that thing into that sea of forgetfulness. You can speak to the mountain and command it. And you, man, with that authority that we have in Christ Jesus, and we need this today, y'all. We need to be able to have that confidence that we can say to the mountain, get thee behind me, and be cast into the sea, and don't, you know, Don't forget the things that you say will come to pass if you'll just say it with the faith and confidence. And man, when you do that, oh wow, things begin to change in your life. You start getting joy. But there's some things that are stopping this. We're going to talk about it here. Look at verse 11. I'll back up. Increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering with joy. I mean, we desperately need that today, because patience and long-suffering with joy just literally is trying to get us to understand that we can have perseverance. You know, the Amplified kind of amplifies it. And forbearing with joy. As I'm here to tell you, if you lose your joy today, you're going to be in trouble. So here we are, trying to figure out how to gain more knowledge of the Word of God. We want that spiritual understanding. And then God starts talking about some things. Verse 12, give thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of his inheritance of the saints of light, who hath delivered us from the power of what? Say it with me. Are y'all reading with me? The power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So there's got to be something that happens to us. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. This is where I want to stop, and I just want to see where the Spirit of God leads us this morning. All the things that we just said, how God is desiring that we gain more knowledge of God, more knowledge of the Son of God over in Ephesians chapter 4. How we need to continue to be steadfast in, you know, patience and long-suffering. And he keeps using this word joy. And then he comes down here and begins to talk about the forgiveness of sins. Because really that's what holds a lot of people back. Is they really don't understand because of not having much knowledge of what Jesus did. And that's what we're doing here this morning, is getting that knowledge. They don't understand that because of what Jesus did, that you have forgiveness of sin, and you don't have to walk then in unforgiveness. You don't have to be held by the guilt and condemnation that the devil brings because of sin. Even if it was done this morning, that we understand that man, when you ask God to forgive you, he forgives you and throws that sin into the sea of forgetfulness. But a lot of people stay in the bondage that the Apostle Paul is talking about right here because of unforgiveness. And so we need to talk about it. I want you to flip over to Matthew chapter 6 real fast. Matthew chapter 6. Because there's something about forgiveness. I ministered a message similar to this at the ministers' conference a few weeks ago in San Antonio. And I'm in charge of this ministers' conference. And there was a lot of ministers there. Man, thank God. And the Lord had me deal with two assignments. One was connection. How we need to all stay connected. I think that's vital for even the church. You know, denominations that instead of fighting amongst each other, why don't we just connect with each other? Amen. Because connection is really, and unity in the faith is really important for you to, you know, to see results in your life. Because I'm sure if I begin to go across this crowd, we would probably have all kinds of major testimonies about some things that you're going through right now, or maybe you've been through in the past, and how major it might have been, or maybe it is right now. Well, how many of you know we need that unity of the faith? Because if we get in unity, ooh, there's power. It's kind of like a husband and a wife, man. When you get agreement, when I say, Jamie, this is what I believe God is saying, there's been times when when it took a little bit longer for us both to get into agreement about it. I mean, that happens, right? But I'm telling you, the minute she said, I agree with that. Kind of like that building out there. You know, we're all in agreement, right, that thing gets built. And we're going to keep believing for the money to continue to come in. I mean, because that's the only thing that's going to help build the thing, some cash, right? I mean, we can pray over it and stretch our hands towards it and see if God miraculously build it without anybody doing it. But more than likely, you're going to be standing there a long time, and Pastor Corey's going to be home sleeping. No, it's going to take some agreement to finish that kids' church and continue to get those finances. It's going to take unity. The minute you get into division, though, that's when things begin to stop. And what usually stops and causes people to get in division? Unforgiveness. Look here in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 9. And obviously you all know this is the very prayer Jesus taught us how to pray. After this manner, verse 9, chapter 6 of Matthew. Therefore pray ye, O Father, say it with me, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, say it, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our debts. This is the King James, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And then he says, amen. Now read on though, because Jesus is still talking here. He says, for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, say that word, but, if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, let me help you understand this. I realized that when Jesus died, we don't have to take another goat or sheep or anything to the altar. We don't have to give it to the priest to take it to the altar for forgiveness of sin. Jesus became the sacrificial lamb, right? He died. He shed his blood. That's why they tortured him. They did just like the calf or the bull or the lamb or whatever that they took to the altar in those days. Jesus was that. And they did it worse probably than the lamb, the true lamb or an animal. I mean, they tortured him. But prophetically it had to happen because, you know, we needed it. We needed that veil to be ripped, so that we can go into the Holy of Holies and talk to God ourselves. We don't have to trust a priest or a preacher to take our sin in and ask God to forgive. No, we can do that ourselves. Father, man, I ask you to forgive me, sir, in Jesus' name. Now we can literally do that, see. Okay. Sin right there, man, it's forgiven. In other words, it doesn't matter when you sin, you are forgiven because of Jesus. Here's the thing, though. There's a principle called sowing and reaping. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Therefore, if you choose to not forgive someone else, you have planted the seed of and sown unforgiveness, wherefore then God cannot forgive you, or you won't walk in forgiveness. And you have to understand that. So just because Jesus died for us and our sins are forgiven, yes and amen, if you choose to not walk in that and you get out of the will of God and you start walking in the principle of sowing and reaping, you know, remember, y'all, everything's a seed, right? Good or bad. If you plant a good seed financially, a good seed of love, I mean, if a husband and wife, If they love each other, man, that's what they're sowing, and that's what they're going to reap. But if one of them starts backbiting, one of them starts, sowing discord, which then leads into divorce, that's what happens. See, and you sowed that. It's the same thing with forgiveness. If you are not forgiving someone else, then you're sowing a seed where God then can't forgive you. And we don't need to walk in that, because I'm here to tell you that right there is stopping a lot of people from reaping the benefits and the manifestations of what they're believing God for. Not walking in forgiveness. Well, yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. I remember someone told me a long time ago, they said, I don't forgive and I don't forget. I thought, man, that's terrible. Because really, what they're living with is every time they see the person, it brings up the resentment and the anger and the animosity and the jealousness possibly and all the other stuff that is really defeating the saints, you see. Forgiveness is something that Jesus is trying to get engrafted on the inside of us, that we don't allow unforgiveness to be sown in our lives in any area. And I don't care how bad someone's treated us, I'm forgiven. Why? Because I want God to forgive me. You see. Now look at this. Because, and look at verse 14, same chapter. I was reminded in my notes that look at the Amplified. For if you forgive people their trespasses, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go, and giving up resentment, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. See, there's something about, unforgiveness can be a heart issue where we just hold on to resentment. I'm just mad at, the way I was treated back when. And before we know it, it's really stopping the blessings of God in our life. Well, I don't know about you, but we don't need that. Amen? Unforgiveness can stop doors for opening. And I mean, we don't want that, because God wants doors to open in our lives. I mean, how many of you know that we need to be in the perfect will of God? Would you agree with that? Not in just the submissive will, that's pretty good. But I would rather be in the perfect will of God. Because when you're in the perfect will of God, I'm not saying you won't make mistakes. I'm just saying, man, I'm where God needs me to be. For me personally as a pastor, this is where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be the pastor of this church at this time. And as most of you know, I'm also in God's will when he continues to send me out in the field. And for 15 years of this church, he has not allowed me to not go out into the field. And that's why I'm gone quite a bit from our church. And so God set this church up so that when I'm gone, it continues to function as if I was here. I mean, you still get preached the word of God. You still get people saved, healed, delivered, and set free. You still get people mentored and discipled to the glory of God. I mean, the keys of the kingdom continue to be preached to this body. We still try to get you knowledge of the Son of God and gaining that spiritual witness even if I'm gone, because in the perfect will of God, I'm supposed to be out there trying to gather in the great harvest in these last days. You know why? Because no one else will go. No one else is willing to go out there. I mean, everybody wants to be a pastor because there's security, supposedly. Although there's churches shutting down right and left all around us. I know of one church down the road that one is needing to sell their buses and their vans and they just can't make it. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to be in God's perfect will, because if I'm not, it could brood and bring in some unforgiveness. And people get ticked off at me when I'm gone, but don't do that, because people are getting born again when I leave. They're giving their lives to Jesus. Therefore, God won't allow me to not go. I still go to the college national finals, and I put out a tent right after the rodeo for one solid week. And Ricky and Daryl and their families come and join me, and we preach Jesus for a full week. How many people get saved there, though? I mean, over 20 plus years, there's been thousands that's been born again there. Okay, well, what if I didn't go? I'd be out of God's perfect will. I want to be in God's perfect will, and unforgiveness can shut doors. I mean, God wants you to go through the door, but because we're meditating on all the junk that someone did to us, we're not able to have that freedom. No, we're in bondage. Man, I'm telling you today, we're going to get free of that. Say amen if you agree. I mean, we need to be free from that. And it starts out walking in forgiveness. You see, there's power to forgive, and that is the same power that heals. I'm reminded of Mark chapter 2, I think it's verse 1 through 12. It talks about the account of a man sick with palsy. He's the one where his friends, remember, lowered him in the hole of the roof. And in verse 9, the Bible says that Jesus said, which is easier to say to this paralytic man, your sins are forgiven you, or to rise up? To rise, take up your bed, and walk. You notice that he started out with, your sins are forgiven you. Because obviously this man wasn't being healed because he was walking in unforgiveness. And Jesus set him free and said, hey, your sins are forgiven you. Hey, your sins are forgiven you. Corey Ross, your sins are forgiven you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, sir. You know, that's what I'd be saying. You see, God's saying that to you this morning. Your sins are forgiven you. Now take up your bed and walk. I'm telling you, if we get a hold of this, y'all, in these last days, and we start walking in forgiveness, watch what begins to happen in our lives, because the manifestation of healing will take place. It won't be withheld. And I'm not saying God is withholding it, because he's not. That's why he sent Jesus. But because we walk in unforgiveness, that's causing then God not to be able to have the results for your life that you're desiring because of you, not God. So I'm here to tell you, if we'll get away from the ways of the world, living in unforgiveness, watch the mighty hand of God begin to be performed in our lives. Glory be to God. I mean, you won't have any problems with being filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, you won't get mad when they start talking about the Spirit of God and the Holy Ghost and the baptism of the Spirit of God with the evidence of speaking in tongues and uh-oh, tongues. What'd you say? Tongues. I was raised a little Southern Baptist boy, and they always said, if you spoke in tongues, that was of the devil. Oh, really? Well, in college, I walked away from the Lord for 2 years. He didn't walk away from me, but I wasn't serving him. The party was at my house. The Bible study was there the year before. And then heartbreak happened in my life. In 2 years, I walked away from the Lord. And I'm just here to tell you, I never spoke in tongues one time. I started asking my pastor Baptist pastor friends, what's up about this friend, this tongues business? You know what they'd all say is, to be real honest, we just don't understand. But this is exactly what God's trying to get us to do, is get more knowledge of God and spiritual understanding. So in Bible study, that's what we let's look at it. I'm not against it. Let's look at it. I want to see if God has that for me, and I want it. How about you? I've also been told that healing is not for today. It went away with the old covenant. It's not. I mean, if it were for today, why is God not healing everybody? Well, then I got to go through a big old Bible study then. Oh, my Jesus. And you know what had happened? At the very same churches that I, and I'm not down in churches, I'm just saying that we need to gain more spiritual understanding so that when we believe God's for something, it'll come to pass if it's lined up with His Word. When you're dying and you only have 4 months to live, man, you start waking up. And I have to pray for a lot of those people. You start coming to your senses. Wait a minute, what does the Word of God say? Are you going to receive that as truth? Because that's not the truth. It's not the truth that you have to die of some cancer or disease. It may be the fact, but it is not the truth. Because the truth is in this Word. Therefore, are you going to believe this Word more than the fact? Because if you do, this Word of truth, that you're healed by Jesus' stripes. Mark 16, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. I noticed that that's what a lot of the religious churches that I went to did growing up. They didn't believe in healing, that God would heal all people. You know, it might be God's will that some don't get healed, they would say. But they would always put you on that long list that was called the prayer list. Pray for brother so-and-so because he needs it. Well, wait a minute. If God does not heal, and He doesn't heal anybody, or He doesn't heal everybody now because it went away with the old covenant, why in the world would we dare put them on a prayer list? You see, it don't make sense. But it makes a lot more sense to believe this Bible. If you walk in unforgiveness, though, it's going to stop a lot of things because you're sowing a seed of unforgiveness. Today, in Jesus' name, let's break that curse of unforgiveness. I don't care what someone did to us. I'm forgiving them. Matter of fact, I'm going to go further than that, and I'm going to start praying for them. Because that, as y'all know, is exactly what I did when that minister came against me years ago in public. And I didn't take offense. I won't tell you the whole story, but I didn't take offense. I just said, man, I pray for you. Man, God bless you, sir. I'm telling you, what does the Word say? It heaps red coals on their head. Now, I'm not talking we have the attitude of sick 'em, Holy Ghost. Kill them. I'm mad at them. No. We have to walk in forgiveness. Because if we do, watch what happens in our life. Because to be real honest, it's not hurting. It's not hurting them. It's hurting you. I mean, they kind of like it that you're jealous. They kind of like it that you're upset. Well, I say we're not going to let the devil do that to us any longer. And we're going to keep digging into this Word of God so that we continue to get more and more and more knowledge of the Word of God. Knowledge of God Himself. Knowledge of the Son of God. What did He do? Why do we have forgiveness of sin? Why do we have redemption? Why do we have the authority to use the name that's above every name, Jesus? And I'm here to tell you, we're going to need that in these last days. Every single one of us. There's not one person that's not going to need the name that's above every name. Because there's going to be a time when you're going to have to either choose to believe the fact or choose to believe the truth. And as long as you come to this church, we're going to continue to believe the truth. And I'm not saying we won't make some mistakes, but I'm going to say that we're going to continue to dig into this word. And if it's in that one subject of forgiveness, then we're going to, I remember, and I'll close. They gave me a big clock on the back. Everybody turn around and look at it. See it? That's the greatest thing I've ever seen right there. I probably shouldn't have told y'all. Dang it. I got 5 minutes, y'all, in the old religious way. That's the greatest thing they ever did for me. Because see that little clock that's right on the, I can't see what that, can anybody see that unless you're on the back row? Can y'all see anything? Can y'all see that? No, I can't. Why would they stick that thing there? But look at that thing back there. That's a mighty thing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, there's one story, and it's going to come back to my mind. And I've got 4 minutes to wait for it to come back. The point is if we don't walk in forgiveness, especially when we've been attacked, I mean, this man that I'm talking about, wow, it was hurtful. I was like, wait a minute, we're on the same team, guys. We're on the same team. We're trying to get people to come into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then it was a hurt. But the minute I said, God, I release that to you, sir. I'm not going to hold on to this. Not another day in my life. It caused freedom to come to my life. I mean, you want to talk about favor. Favor with the people that he was trying to stop me from ministering to in professional rodeo. Favor came on us like we've never seen because I wouldn't allow myself to walk in unforgiveness. I just say, God bless him. God love him, sir. And on his dying bed, I called him. He didn't answer, didn't return my call, but it didn't matter. I just said, hey, I'm praying for you. Because see, God loves him just as much as he loves me. Are you dealing with some unforgiveness this morning? Are you? I mean, just think about it. Because is there that one person way back that, man, I'm not saying you got to be around them. I'm not saying you got to yoke yourself to them. Well, you don't have to, trust me. God's not saying forgive them and then start hanging out with them again. If they haven't changed, then don't just stay away. But man, don't let that stuff start seeding on the inside of you where it affects the blessing of God in your life. No, you need freedom. We need it. Glory be to God. We need it. So here's what I want to do. If you're dealing, maybe you've been dealing with it a long time, trying to forgive this one person, and it might be more. It doesn't matter, really. Or you're dealing with forgiving yourself for something. If that's you, there's freedom in this place this morning. All I want you to do is just right where you're at, just stand up, and I want to pray for you right now. Just stand up. It's either you or you're dealing with it, you know, someone else you're needing to forgive. It might be family, might be friends. It doesn't matter who it is, but it's you. Or you haven't forgiven yourself for something. I want you to stand up, and I want to pray for you. Don't miss this. Don't miss this anointing. of Jesus Christ, the anointed one that breaks yokes of bondage and sets captives free. If there's something that is, it's eat on you, and you know, you'll forget about it, but then it will come back. I want you to get up and let's pray over it right now, and let's get it washed away in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God, sir. Thank you, sir. Praise God. Just for us, just one second. One second, sir. There's someone in here that has been having some ear issues. The Lord just took me to the right side. And it might be both, but if you're having ear issues, God wants to heal you. Who is that? You've just been, is it you? Yes, sir. You? Four, three, four, five. Mm-hmm. You've been having, man, you just, there was someone in here that just felt a sensation in your right. It's the right ear. Who is that on the right ear? It's not the, over there? Okay. I thought, praise God. If that was y'all, give God praise right where you're at. Just say thank you, Lord. Just that God's opening up those ears right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And that right ear just pulled out. You pulled out your hearing aid. And you felt it in your right ear, didn't you? Amen. Come here just for a second. What did you feel on that side?
I feel like I can hear a little bit better.
You feel like you can hear a little bit better?
It ought to feel real good before it's over
with. Amen. Did y'all hear that? He said, in Jesus' name. Well, I come into agreement that it's not just a little bit.
I ain't going to need that here.
Amen. I agree with that. Come on, y'all agree with that, right? Okay, that's the goodness of God. Amen. So you continue, you walk in that and say, thank you, Lord, for that right ear just being completely opened up in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right. Hang on just one second. Glory be to God. And we're going to pray over everybody that has issues of unforgiveness, really, because this will stop some things in your life, and we don't want it to. Just one thing. Someone in here probably is dealing with, and it may be more than one, just issues with their left leg. Like it may be blood flow, maybe it's hurting right above the knee. Who is that? Who is that? Is that you? You two? Three? Mm-hmm. You two? I felt it on my left side, just right, almost right above your knee on this right side. I just want you to know God's healing you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Just receive that. That's a good thing. Glory be to God. Now, everybody that's standing, I want you to put your hand over your heart just real fast. Because if you can get it from your head to your heart, this is when you change. Amen? And agree with this prayer. The rest of y'all that are sitting down, would y'all just agree as well? Maybe even stretch your hands towards someone around you. If the Lord prompts you to get up and just lay hands on them, then I want you to do that. Just love on them, whatever. Because unforgiveness is no good. And so you just, if you were sitting down, just get up and just, as I pray, you pray for them as well. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, every single person that has their hand over their heart, all of us, we understand. But we thank you, Lord, that we declare now that their hearts are mended, because the Bible says Jesus is the mender of all broken hearts. All broken hearts. I ask you to mend every single heart in Jesus' name that has been hurt by someone or their heart is hurt because they hurt someone. And Father, we declare today that we walk in forgiveness. We sow forgiveness in our lives so that we can reap it in Jesus' name. And we take a hold of what Jesus did. He is the forgiver. He could have held on to a lot of stuff that was done to him, but he didn't. So we're not going to, sir. So set every person free that has their hand over their heart. And I thank you, Lord, that now they walk in forgiveness. Every curse is broke in Jesus' name. And Father, we give you praise right now that we're set free in Jesus' name. Now, all of you that are standing, say amen to that. Say and say, I receive it in Jesus' name. Now, everybody repeat this prayer. If y'all that are standing up, you want to sit down, you can. Everybody in here, pray this prayer with me. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord, is my Savior, is my friend. I need you, Jesus, in my life. I want to go to heaven and not hell. Father, thank you for being my friend, but for being my Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, I want your heads bowed and eyes closed. Just respect for your neighbor, honor of God. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, you didn't know if you died where you would go, heaven or hell, or maybe you hadn't even thought about it. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your life to Jesus, when I say three, one, two, three, I want you to stick your hand straight up and you're going to say, God, I meant that prayer when I said it. I gave my life to you this morning. And then just put your hand right back down. I will not embarrass you. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I want you to be bold enough and not ashamed of what Jesus did for you. Therefore, don't be ashamed of giving your life to him. If you just gave your life to him, get that hand up when I say three. You ready? With boldness in Jesus' name. One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Glory be to God. I don't want to miss you. I'm going to hand you a Bible. Just take that Bible right there and you can put your hand down. Anyone else? You prayed that prayer. You gave your life to Jesus. Amen. Glory be to God. All right, look at me. Thank God people get saved here. God. Oh, I love you, Lord. Now listen to me. I know we took a little extra time, but listen. This is what church is supposed to be like. Not just hoping to feel good and maybe sometimes worse when we leave. No, man, you get freedom where the anointing of Jesus Christ is. And I'm here to tell you, if you'll agree, listen to me. If you'll agree, it's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. There's still people in deep, deep, deep Mexico that is getting raised from the dead. People, we've never, what? See, man, y'all got to get your eyes off of being contained in this little small box of unbelief into knowing that out there in the fields, there's people that are still being raised from the dead that's been dead for 2 days. I'm hearing people, those missionaries going in there and laying hands on people, the miraculous healing. You know why it doesn't happen here in the States anymore? It's because of a whole bunch of unbelief. We don't believe. Well, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God in these last days is going to start releasing that. And I believe that we're in the last days. I mean, matter of fact, we're past in some people's minds. Jesus could appear at any time. Well, I'm seeing some transfers of a lot of things. Finances, oh man. And you need to get a hold of it. We're not just playing church. This is how heaven is going to be. We're going to be worship. We're not going to be in heaven just team roping, riding bulls, playing baseball. I know all the little kids, that's what they think. You know, I want to get married. Well, you'll get married in heaven. I mean, we're going to live here like there. There's still going to be families. It's just not going to be with sin. It's going to be great. We need that here. We don't want to wait till heaven to get it. Amen. Not goofiness and corny stuff that happens. No, I want to see the power of God move in our services. And so y'all agree with me. Amen. Keep coming to this church. Invite your neighbors. That's why this church is growing so much. It's because we're not afraid to preach this gospel. Amen. Stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed. Just a few quick announcements before we're gone.